What's up, everyone, and welcome back to New Release Reactions here on Cinemac Reviews. I'm your host, Chris, and this is a show about all things movie and TV. Every week, I break down and review the newest releases like Asteroid City and No Hard Feelings, beloved franchises, and even the year's top films and shows. You can support this show by hitting that follow button on your favorite podcast network, as well as following it on all social media platforms. All of those handles can be found on either the Cinemac Reviews Facebook page or this show's website at podpage.com/cinematicreviews. It helps out a lot, and I really do appreciate all the love and support out there from everyone. I have a packed episode for you all today, so let's kick it off with this week's new release report. Welcome back to the new release report here on Cinematic Reviews. Over on Netflix, we have Extraction 2, starring Chris Hemsworth, streaming now, along with Black Mirror Season 6. This is 5 brand new episodes of the anthology series. On Disney Plus, Marvel's Secret Invasion is finally here. Episode 1 premiered last week, with Episode 2 premiering this Wednesday. And then after that, every Wednesday will be new episodes of the Marvel show. On Hulu, you can check out The Bear Season 2. Streaming now and get caught up with Season 1 as well. On Max, Evil Dead Rise has arrived. This is the newest installment in the Evil Dead franchise, so check that out today on Max. Over on Apple TV Plus, The Crowded Room starring Tom Holland is streaming now. New episodes of that drop every Friday. And then Platonic starring Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne is streaming now as well. New episodes of that drop every Wednesday. On Peacock, you can check out Renfield, starring Nicholas Hoult and Nick Cage, along with Polite Society. On VOD, Fast 10, The Machine, About My Father, and You Hurt My Feelings are available to rent and buy now. And then in theaters, we have Wes Anderson's Asteroid City, No Hard Feelings, starring Jennifer Lawrence, which I'll be talking about in just a few moments, along with The Flash, Disney Pixar, Elemental, and Transformers Rise of the Beasts. Looking ahead, we have Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny coming out later this week on June 30th, and then Insidious, The Red Door on July 7th, followed by Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1 on July 12th, and then Oppenheimer and Barbie coming out on July 21st. Well, that is this week's new release report. Come back next week for some more new release updates. Holy Toledo, that's Mitch Campbell. Asteroid City is headed your way.
You're not here.
We're not there. The car exploded. Come get the girls. I have to stay here with Woodrow.
I'm not the chauffeur. I'm the grandfather.
Where are you?
Asteroid City, Farm Route 6, mile 75.
Last train. Junior stargazers and space cadets. Each year, we celebrate Asteroid Day, commemorating September 23rd, 3007 BC, when the Arid Plains meteorite made Earth impact.
Holy Toledo, that's Mitch Campbell.
You're very good in the one about the tramp in the brothel who gets amnesia and becomes a pediatrician. You were very awesome.
Actually, maybe my favorite character ever.
I don't know why nobody else liked it.
Oh.
What do those pulses indicate?
What?
Oh, the beeps and blips? We don't know.
Some of our information about outer space may no longer be completely accurate. Anyway, there's still only 9 planets in the solar system as far as we know, Billy?
Except now there's an alien.
What's happening now?
I don't know.
I don't like the way that guy looked at us. The alien.
How did he look?
Like we're doomed.
Maybe we are.
I've just informed the president.
How long can they keep us in Asteroid City, legally?
The world will never be the same.
That's an alien doing jumping jacks. That's an alien in a top hat.
What's out there? The meaning of life. Maybe there is one.
Are you married?
I'm a widower, but don't tell my kids.
You're saying her mother died 3 weeks ago?
Let's say she's in heaven, which doesn't exist for me, of course, but you're Episcopalian.
In my loneliness, I learned to give complete and unquestioning faith to the people I love. I don't know if that includes you, but it included my daughter and your 4 children.
Sometimes I think I feel more at home outside the Earth's atmosphere.
Oh, wow. Me too. They're strange, aren't they? They're children. Compared to normal people.
Yes, that's correct.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
Freight train, going so fast. Freight train, going so fast. I do
a nude scene. You want to see it?
Huh? Did I say yes?
You didn't say anything.
I meant yes. My mouth didn't speak.
Asteroid City was released on June 23rd. It stars pretty much everyone in Hollywood. I'm going to run through this crazy casting list right now. Jason Schwartzman, Scarlett Johansson, Tom Hanks, Jeffrey Wright, Tilda Swinton, Liev Schreiber, Steve Carell, Edward Norton, Willem Dafoe, Maya Hawke, Jake Ryan, Sophia Lillis, Adrian Brody, Matt Dillon, Bryan Cranston, Jeff Goldblum, and Margot Robbie. It was directed by Wes Anderson, who is best known for The Grand Budapest Hotel, The French Dispatch, and Fantastic Mr. Fox. The film is looking at a three-day weekend haul of $12 million against a $25 million budget. Wes Anderson was too embarrassed to film Scarlett Johansson's full frontal nude scene, so Johansson ended up directing it herself. Bill Murray was originally cast in Steve Carell's role, but contracted COVID-19, forcing him to back out of production. This was the first Wes Anderson film to not feature the iconic actor since Bottle Rocket, Anderson's directorial debut. Michael Cera was also originally going to be in the film, but was unable to do so because of scheduling conflicts. It is unknown as of today what role he was going to play. The film was rumored to be shot in Rome, but was changed to Madrid. And then lastly, Wes Anderson voiced all the characters during the quote-unquote cartoons, as Anderson calls them. Now, I'm very new to Wes Anderson. Before Asteroid City, I've only seen some scenes of French Dispatch and Grand Budapest Hotel. That's it. That's my experience with the style of Wes Anderson. Asteroid City was my introduction to the beloved director, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. It's a very delightful film. I walked in and out of the theater with a big smile on my face. Then I went home and finally watched Grand Budapest Hotel, and it's also a very, very delightful film. I love the silliness that Anderson incorporates into his storytelling. Asteroid City is a beautiful blend of comedy and heart and drama. I've honestly never seen a film like it before. It's a movie about a play. It's incredible how Anderson was able to pull this off. The cast had to play characters that are acting in a play. They had to channel their own feelings as well as their characters' feelings into the characters that they were portraying in this play called Asteroid City. It really shows an audience how talented Jason Schwartzman, Scarlett Johansson, Jeffrey Wright, and everyone else involved with this film is as an actor. So Schwartzman is the lead of this play. He plays Augie, a recent widower and father of four. They have come to Asteroid City to support Augie's son, Woodrow, who is participating in a junior Stargazers event. During their time in Asteroid City, their lives change forever. They start to not just connect with other travelers in this small town, but also with each other. They become closer as a family by the end of this play. It's really, really touching. This play that the film is centered around is written by Edward Norton's character, and the film itself is narrated by Bryan Cranston's character. I'm a huge fan of both of them, and to watch them act on screen together was incredible for me. I'm actually a huge fan of this entire cast. It's as if Wes Anderson went into my IMDb page and got everybody that I liked into this film. The cast list is nuts. Tom Hanks, Tilda Swinton, Willem Dafoe, Margot Robbie, Steve Carell. These are heavy, heavy hitters, and they're all in the same film. The cast is only part of it, though. The story is also very heartwarming and entertaining. I love the relationship between Augie and his kids throughout the film, the connection that forms between Augie and ScarJo's character, Mitch, who is an actress coming across this small town, Asteroid City. A lot of their conversation takes place through the windows of these tiny cabins that they are facing each other in while they stay in the town. It was simple and brilliant at the same time. Their conversations were very, very moving. There's also some really great comedy throughout this, like the shot of just an on-ramp to a highway with a sign reading ramp closed indefinitely, and the running gag of everything in Asteroid City being sold out of these machines, even land. It was really silly and fun. I really, really liked it. Little things like that made the film very, very enjoyable. The style of Wes Anderson is very enjoyable for a lot of people, but not everyone is drawn to it. Some will think Anderson's writing is too silly or too on the nose. Asteroid City is no exception to that. You'll either find his style, like I keep saying, very, very enjoyable like I did, or very, very annoying. It's going to hit audiences differently. For me, it was very enjoyable, like I keep saying. Yes, not every joke hit for me, but most of them did. That won't be the case for everyone, of course, but I do recommend this film. At least give it a try. Even if you enjoy just one of the actors in this film, it's worth it, because everybody gives such an incredible performance in it. Even Margot Robbie, who is really only in one scene towards the end of the film, did a fantastic job with her character. Asteroid City is a 4-star film for me. Like I said, I enjoyed the hell out of it from start to finish. The cast, the writing, the style, it was all very, very entertaining to me. Wes Anderson fans will definitely love it. There is a lot of classic Wes Anderson style caked into this film. There's a lot of great stuff in it for audiences that are also not very familiar with Anderson like me. So check out Asteroid City today. You might just end up walking out of the theater with a smile on your face. Check out the Transformers season going on right now. Every week I break down and review each installment of the beloved franchise. It all ends this week, though, with Bumblebee starring Hailee Steinfeld. Date him hard. I'll date his brains out. No hard feelings is next.
Stop! Gary!
Court order for asset seizure.
So they're taking my car?
You went radio silent on me.
Is that what this is about? Just last night, I thought, I missed that fucker.
Is that true?
Buongiorno!
That's my cousin! Gary, I swear to God, he's my cousin. He's my second cousin.
There's something seriously wrong with you.
I'm an Uber driver and I don't have a car. I'm gonna lose my house. You think I chose this?
Look at this.
Need a car, date our son this summer, and bring him out of his shell before college.
In exchange, we'll give you a Buick Regal.
Date is in quotes. It's gotta be a joke, right?
No, have you seen these helicopter parents? I'm surprised they're not gonna fuck them themselves.
We've just been so worried about our son.
He's going to Princeton in the fall.
Oh, I've heard of it. You know, we tried everything to bring him out of his shell.
He doesn't come out of his room, he doesn't talk to girls, doesn't drink.
So when you say date him, do you mean date him or date him?
Yes.
Date him. Date him hard.
Okay. I'll date his brains out.
He volunteers at the animal shelter.
Hi. Mind if I touch your wiener?
What?
Your dog. How about I give you a ride home?
This isn't the way to my house.
It's a shortcut. You're my hostage. What you got down there? Something for me?
Why?
You tried kidnapping me!
You're 19. Grow up!
This kid is unfuckable.
Have a drink together.
He'll have a Long Island iced tea.
This is the worst iced tea I've ever had. Okay, one thing about
me, I'm the baddest alive. Dance parties.
I don't know what to do. I just know my mom would have wanted me to save the house.
He's probably just nervous. Why don't you loosen him up?
We can go skinny dipping.
What about sharks?
Men here.
Jellyfish?
Not this season.
It's really the lack of lifeguards.
Let's get the fuck in here right now.
Okay.
I'm just a bit of a romantic.
He's actually really sweet. The best part about getting older is not giving a fuck what people think.
I'm an adult now. I can make my own decisions.
That's good.
You want to savor it. Savor it.
Come on, you're getting out of here. You don't belong here.
Don't Let's touch me.
Get away from her.
Stay.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, we should go.
Maddie, you can't outrun the cops.
I can't lose my license.
No Hard Feelings was also released on June 23rd. It stars Jennifer Lawrence as Maddie and Andrew Barth Feldman as Percy. It was directed by Gene Stupnitsky, who is best known for his writing on The Office, Good Boys, Bad Teacher, and Year One. The film has so far grossed $25 million against his $45 million budget. Jennifer Lawrence described her experience working with Andrew Feldman as akin to Christian Bale due to their abilities in improv. Speaking of Feldman, he delayed going to Harvard in order to be in the film. Everyone, including her management team, kept asking Lawrence if she really was sure about performing her full body nude scene. Lawrence said that she didn't have a second thought. It was hilarious to her. The chemistry between Lawrence and Feldman was instant from day one, according to Andrew Feldman. And then lastly, the film is based on a real Craigslist ad. So I had a really, really fun time at No Hard Feelings. Comedies like this don't really get made today. Before this, we had Good Boys a couple of years ago, but that was more aimed towards teenagers. Bros is the most recent one. I believe that one came out last year, which is a really, really surprising success in the theaters. That was more of a modern comedy, though. No Hard Feelings is a great combination of both modern comedy and that old school raunchy comedy like Bridesmaids and Wedding Crashers. Neighbors was probably the last great comedy like this, and that came out back in 2014. That was really the end of the Judd Apatow and Adam McKay era of comedy. No Hard Feelings gave me the same enjoyment that I have watching films like Step Brothers and Knocked Up and 40-Year-Old Virgin. Hollywood just doesn't make comedies like those now. Marvel has really kind of taken over the comedy side of Hollywood. Occasionally, we do get, you know, a Good Boys or Bros, but those are really more kind of modern comedies. I hope No Hard Feelings really opens the door back up for the classic raunchy comedies that I personally grew up with watching. So the film stars Jennifer Lawrence as Maddie. Times are tough for the 32-year-old character. She is trying to save her mother's house. She can't maintain a relationship with somebody past the first date. She works two jobs. She has her car repossessed in the first scene of the film. This forces her to respond to a Craigslist ad that is searching for a girl to date their 19-year-old son before he heads off to Princeton in the fall. Jennifer Lawrence is fantastic in this film. She is a very, very talented actress who I love seeing in films. She was funny, incredibly beautiful, and really relatable. In preparation for the show today, I was really thinking about what my top five favorite performances are of Jennifer Lawrence, and I jotted those down. You can find that list on both IMDb and Letterboxd. All you gotta do is search for Cinematic Reviews, but I'll run through those on the show today. And this was really, really tough because, like I said, I'm a huge fan of hers. I think she has a really cool range of talent, but I think she does comedy the best. But she has been in a couple of big action franchises. She's worked with very, very many variety of directors through the years. But here's a list that I came up with. So at number five, it's American Hustle. This is the David O. Russell film starring Christian Bale, Amy Adams, Bradley Cooper, Jeremy Renner, and then, of course, Jennifer Lawrence as Christian Bale's very, very young wife. I enjoy her in that film. I know I'm kind of in the minority on that, but I think she was fantastic in there. She was gorgeous. She was very powerful and strong as Christian Bale's wife. She was funny at times. She was charismatic. You know, she played the role that she needed to in their kind of little hustle throughout the story. And I think she was really, really awesome in that role. Then at number four, it is The Hunger Games, Catching Fire. This is the second film in the beloved Hunger Games franchise, where she plays Katniss Everdeen. I really like her in Catching Fire more than the rest of the installments, but I do actually really, really enjoy this franchise as a whole. I think she did her best work in Catching Fire. I think that is the best installment of the franchise for sure. So that's definitely on the list for me. And then number three, surprisingly, is actually No Hard Feelings. I think comedy is really her strongest talent that she has as an actress. I hope this opens the door up for her to do more comedies like this and really kind of just really hone in on her ability to make an audience laugh and just to be really, really charismatic and goofy and silly on screen for everybody. I think she was just really, really fantastic in this film. And then at number two, we have X-Men Days of Futures Past, where she plays Mystique in this Fox Universe franchise. This is the second film of the kind of soft reboot that Fox did with the X-Men franchise. This is where we see Hugh Jackman go back in time to stop the creation of the Sentinels. Jennifer Lawrence is really at the kind of the forefront of this story. It turns out that her powers is what creates the Sentinels in the first place. So she is kind of at the forefront against Hugh Jackman, who is trying to prevent this creation from stopping from happening, I should say. But I thought she's fantastic in this franchise, but I really, really like her in this installment specifically. So, and then number one, it's where she got her Oscar win, and that is Silver Linings Playbook. This is another David O. Russell film where she stars alongside Bradley Cooper. She plays Tiffany in the film. Fantastic movie, fantastic cast. I love Jennifer Lawrence in here. Again, I'm kind of in the minority. There are quite a few people that believe that she was miscast in here like she was in American Hustle. I think she was perfect for this film. She was mysterious and beautiful and really kind of emotional, and a lot of people could relate to her situation that she is in at the moment of this movie, and then her starring alongside Bradley Cooper, who is also his character Pat, who is also dealing with a lot of stuff too in his life. Their connection is really, really moving and inspirational, and I really, really love her in this. It's definitely my favorite performance of hers, and she definitely deserved the Oscar win for this role as Tiffany. So check out that list today on IMDb and Letterboxd, and I will slowly keep adding to that list. I like to expand these actor lists to more than 5, 10, 15. I try to get their whole filmography in there as I watch them, so be on the look for that. But that is my top 5 Jennifer Lawrence performance list. But Jennifer Lawrence is only half the movie. We also have Andrew Barth Feldman playing the 19-year-old Percy in this. I've never seen him in a film before. I was looking up his IMDb page after watching this film in the theater, and I guess he was in White Noise with Adam Driver. I must have missed him in that. But he was incredible in this film, no hard feelings. I really love the chemistry between him and Lawrence. He plays this very shy and sheltered 19-year-old that is actually really smart and talented and funny. The scene where he is singing and playing Maneater on the piano during one of his dates with Lawrence was awesome. I was not expecting that. And neither did Lawrence's character. Her reaction was very, very similar to the audience's. Where the hell did that come from? It was very surprising that Feldman could not only play the piano, but he actually has a really, really nice singing voice, and he just nailed Maneater in that restaurant. It was just fantastic to watch. Maddie and Percy get into a lot of crazy situations in this film, as you could probably guess, like Percy hanging onto the front of the car while Maddie is driving in front of a moving train, and then crashing a high school party that is being chaperoned by parents. There are a couple of other scenes in particular that were really, really funny and really raunchy, but I won't spoil those for anyone who hasn't seen the film yet. For those who have seen it, you know which ones I'm talking about. Again, was not expecting scenes like that in here, especially the one particular one involving Jennifer Lawrence. Just really great to get back into the swing of things with these really hard R raunchy movies. I had a blast. I wasn't a fan of the ending, though. I think they could have landed the plane a bit better, but I get what Stupczynski was going for. He was trying not to be, you know, the typical rom-com with the two leads ending up together at the end of the movie. I think it would have worked better, though, in this case, because the chemistry between not just Maddie and Percy, but Lawrence and Feldman was really, really strong. You could tell that from the first scene that they were in together. You're actually rooting for them to be together by the end of it. But it doesn't happen. You know, the film goes into a completely another direction. It's not a great film on paper, but I still really enjoyed it. There's a lot of heart and comedy and relatability with this film, especially the performances by Lawrence and Feldman. I was really, really looking forward to seeing this film ever since the trailer dropped, and it was a really, really fun time. I walked out of the theater again, just like Astro City, with a smile, feeling happy. I can't wait to own this film and rewatch it over and over again. It's another 4-star film for me. Like I said, I love Lawrence and Feldman in this film. I think they did an outstanding job in these performances. So go out and support this film. Grab a large bucket of popcorn and just get ready to laugh and have a fun time with Jennifer Lawrence being the goofy, silly self that we all love. On the next new release reactions episode, it's Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Join me as I react to Indy's last adventure. The film stars Harrison Ford returning as Indiana Jones for one last time, along with Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Mads Mikkelsen. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny arrives in theaters on June 30th. Check it out over the weekend and then listen to my reaction episode the following Monday, only on Cinematic Reviews. So right now, we're kind of at the halfway point of the year. So I wanted to end today's episode with giving an update on where the top five films and shows are for me for 2023. So starting off, let's talk with the top five films so far. So at number five, I have no hard feelings. I was not expecting to enjoy this film as much as I did, even though I was very excited to finally see Jennifer Lawrence in a raunchy comedy. Like I said before, I had a blast watching this in the theater. Jennifer Lawrence, it was fantastic and really enjoyable, alongside Feldman, who was fantastic as Percy in this film. So that is sitting at number five so far for the year. At number four, it's Creed 3. This is the third film in the Creed franchise, starring Michael B. Jordan against Jonathan Majors. Fantastic film. I love the Creed franchise. This was my favorite of the franchise so far. So it is sitting at number four for 2023 so far. Then number three, it's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Really love this film. If you listen to the reaction episode on it, I absolutely fell in love with this film. This installment focuses more on Rocket and the trauma that he went through. Just a fantastic film. We finally got an A-plus movie from Marvel in the last couple of years, with Black Panther and Quantumania and some of the other films not really hitting that bar that MCU fans have been wanting. This was the best installment so far since Spider-Man No Way Home, in my opinion. Just a fantastic, heartwarming story, and a fitting end to this James Gunn Guardians trilogy that he started back in 2014. It was just really, really fantastic. One of my favorite theater-going experiences of the year so far. I got to see this with my family, particularly my two brothers, who we have been huge fans of the MCU, especially the Guardians side of it. So fantastic film, fantastic movie-going experience. It is sitting at number three, and I think it is going to stay there. It's going to be a part of this five top five list for sure by the end of the year. It's just really, really fantastic. Number two, it's Super Mario Brothers Movie. Again, this is one of my favorite movie-going experiences of the year. I saw this with my entire family, including my parents. We just had a huge blast watching Mario and Luigi and Peach and Toad come to life on screen for the first time. Huge fans of the video games. I grew up playing pretty much every Mario game created, including Mario Kart, Mario Party, Super Mario Galaxy, all those great Mario games. Just really nostalgic and really well made. Bravo by the creators over at Illumination and Nintendo for giving us one of the best video game movies I have seen since the Sonic movies. Just an awesome, awesome time. Definitely recommend this film, and go check out my reaction episode on that as well. And then at number one, it's John Wick Chapter 4. One of the greatest action movies that I have seen, not just this year, but in the last, you know, 5-10 years. Best of the franchise, in my opinion. Keanu Reeves is at an all-time level of just badassery and awesomeness with all the stunts that he had to go through with this film. It's constant action. There's very, very small amounts of time in between stunts where it lets you kind of breathe and kind of collect yourself. It's just 3 hours of constant Keanu Reeves action. It's just beautifully made, beautifully shot, beautifully choreographed. It's my number one movie of the year so far. Now, looking at possible movies in this second half of the year that could possibly crack the top five list. First, it's Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. I'm a huge Mission Impossible fan. I cannot wait for Dead Reckoning to come out in the next couple of weeks. We're going to see more crazy stunts from Tom Cruise. We're going to see a very heartwarming story about Ethan Hunt taking on the world to protect the people that he loves. It's just going to be a blast. I cannot wait. It's my most anticipated film of the year, and I'm just ready to dive back into the world of Mission Impossible. Another film on the list, it's Oppenheimer. This is the newest film coming from Christopher Nolan. This is about Oppenheimer, who created the atomic bomb. Really excited about this film. I'm a huge Christopher Nolan fan. I've seen all of his films multiple times, and I cannot wait to see what else he has in store for us. For those of you that don't know, he was actually able to set off a real-life bomb for this film, and I'm just really excited to see what that looks like on camera and what else he was able to do to bring this incredibly dark time of our history to life on screen. Also, we have Dune Part 2 coming out. I believe that comes out sometime in November. This, of course, is a sequel to Dune, one of the big movies a couple of years ago. This is starring Timothy Chalamet and Zendaya, Rebecca Ferguson once again. I'm excited to get sucked back into this world. When Dune came out a few years ago, I was very, very new to this universe, but I fell in love with it instantly. I love the cinematography in it, the characters, the story, the locations. It was just a breathtaking story, and I can't wait to see what's next for the characters of Dune in Part 2. Killers of the Flower Moon also comes out in the fall, around October. This is the Apple TV Plus movie that will also be released in theaters. It's coming from the great Martin Scorsese, starring Leonardo DiCaprio and a bunch of others. I can't wait to see what else Marty has in store for his fans. I'm excited to see Leo again on screen. Just really, really excited for this film. And then Napoleon. This is the newest movie from Ridley Scott, starring Joaquin Phoenix as Napoleon. From what I'm understanding, this is going to be a huge Oscar contender, along with Killers of the Flower Moon and possibly Dune and maybe Oppenheimer. I'm not quite sure on Oppenheimer, but I gotta imagine that Napoleon and Killers of the Flower Moon will be heavy Oscar favorites, along with Dune. I know a couple of years ago, Dune was an Oscar winner as well. So I wouldn't put it past them to at least nominate Dune Part 2 and some of the technical rewards. But it sounds like Napoleon is a heavy favorite going into the Oscar season. So I'm really, really excited to see how Ridley Scott and Joaquin Phoenix bring to life the classic, the iconic historical character that is Napoleon. Next, we have the top five shows so far. This list took me a little longer to kind of get together. I haven't really been too impressed with a lot of the shows so far this year. I've been more, as you can tell by the schedule that I've been releasing these reaction episodes, I've been more leaning towards the movie side of Hollywood. But there are still some really great shows that have come out so far. So at number five, I have Black Mirror Season 6. I'm a huge Black Mirror fan. This is the anthology series from Netflix. Season 6 consists of 5 brand new episodes. Another great, fantastic episodes. Not quite on the level of some of the previous episodes, but it's still really fantastic to see the name, the brand of Black Mirror still kind of pumping out episodes. Just really great. Aaron Paul shows up in there. Salma Hayek is in there. Zazie Beetz is in an episode. It's just really great cast and some really interesting stories. Number 4, this was very surprising to me, but it's Shrinking. This is the Apple TV Plus show starring Harrison Ford and Jason Segel. I really love this show. Jason Segel and Harrison Ford star as co-workers at a therapist's office. They are both kind of dealing with their own personal stuff while also trying to help their patients as shrinks. But I just really, really found this a really heartwarming story. And Jason Segel is fantastic in it. I hope they bring it back for another season. I was really surprised how much I really, really liked this show. At number three, it's The Mandalorian Season 3. Fantastic installment to not just the Star Wars brand, but the Mandalorian side of Star Wars. Mando is back with alongside Grogu and Bo-Katan and Greef Karga, played by Carl Weathers again. Just felt really great diving back into the world of the Mandalorian and seeing how Jon Favreau and Filoni kind of expand this side of the Star Wars lore. And it was just really fantastic to see those characters back on screen together. And then at number two, it's The Last of Us Season 1. This, of course, is based on the popular PlayStation video game about the apocalypse. Pedro Pascal was in it as Joel. He was just really, really fantastic. He really knew how to bring that character to life from the video game. The story itself was fantastic. We also have Bella Ramsey playing Ellie in the show. She was great as well, bringing that iconic character to life. Just really, really fantastic from a cinematography and acting and writing standpoint. Just overall, just a really, really great show. I'm super excited for more seasons from this. It sounds like they're going to do a third video game as well after the success of this show. So really, really excited for more Last of Us. And then number one is Succession. The fourth season came out this year, and it's just really, really, really gut-punching and fantastic at the same time. This wrapped up this four-season arc around the Roy family and their kind of rise and fall in the media empire. Just fantastic show overall. Love all the characters, all the cast. There's not a single wasted character in this show. Just Brian Cox is fantastic as Logan Roy. You have Kieran Culkin as Roman. Alan Ruck is in there. Sarah Snook is in there. Jeremy Strong is fantastic as Kendall. Just a really, really fantastic show. And you can check all those episodes out on Max. Just bravo to them just nailing not just this final season, but the show overall. It's just fantastic writing and acting from everyone. Just perfect. Possible shows to crack this top five list. Jack Ryan Season 4 is coming out on June 30th. I'm really excited for that. This is also going to be the final season of that series. This stars John Krasinski as Jack Ryan. This is the Prime Video take on the popular Jack Ryan character. Fantastic show. Really excited to see how they wrap up this story with Krasinski's take on Jack Ryan. In August, we have Ahsoka finally coming out. This is the Disney Plus series focusing on the beloved Star Wars character Ahsoka Tano, who was Anakin Skywalker's Padawan back in the day. Rosario Dawson will be reprising her role as Ahsoka, along with some other characters from the beloved Rebels series will be making their live-action debut. The trailer is dropped. Check that out if you haven't. It's just really, really fantastic. I'm super excited to see what they do with the Ahsoka character. Also from Disney, we have on the Marvel side, Secret Invasion. This is the series centered around Nick Fury and his involvement in this big war of the Skrulls. We also see Colby Smulders coming back as Maria Hill, Ben Mendelsohn coming back as one of the Skrulls, and then we have Emilia Clarke making her debut in the MCU as a Skrull as well. Season 1 premiered last week, and then we have Season 2 coming out this week on Wednesday. I was really, really surprised by how much I enjoyed this first episode. I was originally going to let all these episodes come out and then kind of binge it, but I was just too curious to just wait that long. So I dipped my toes a little bit with episode 1, and I was really, really impressed on what I saw. It's not as bad as what a lot of reviews are saying. It's not great. I do have some issues with it, along with the ending. But I'm excited to see what the rest of this story brings to us. So I will definitely be watching this every week. I will probably be doing a reaction episode on this once all the episodes have aired, along with Ahsoka. Once all those episodes air, I will be doing an episode on that as well. So be on the look for that. Also from the Marvel side, this is a little up in the air with everything kind of shifting around with Marvel and their release dates, along with the unfortunate drama centered around Jonathan Majors and everything outside of Hollywood that he's dealing with. But for right now, Loki season 2 is still on the schedule to come out in 2023. We will see if that changes at all. A lot of projects have been getting pushed back because of the writer's strike, of course, and then with everything going on with Jonathan Majors, it's kind of left Marvel at a standstill. But for right now, Loki season 2 is still set to come out this year. And I think with the greatness that was season 1, I think season 2 still has potential to crack the top 10 for me, or the crack 5 for me, as far as 2023 goes, even with everything going on with Jonathan Majors. I'm going to try to focus on what is being put on screen. I'm going to ignore all the outside stuff, all the drama going on, just going to focus on what the creators put on screen and just dive back into this world that Loki is thrown into. So I am still kind of excited to see what they do with the popular character from Marvel. And then lastly, it's The Bear season 2, which is going on Hulu right now. I really loved season 1 of The Bear. Fantastic cooking show that stars Jeremy Allen White, who you probably remember from Shameless. He is fantastic in here as a young chef, kind of trying to maneuver in the dining world of Chicago. Just a really, really awesome show. I love a good cooking show, and I wasn't really expecting a whole lot. But when I finally watched season 1, I believe it was last year, I was really, really impressed with what they did with the show, and just a phenomenal cast and performances by them. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what season 2 has for fans of The Bear, and it could possibly crack the top 5 for 2023. Well, that'll do it for this week's reaction episode. Tune in next week for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, which is set to be released in theaters on June 30th. Also, check out the Transformers season going on right now. Later this week, I'll be breaking down the final film of the season, Bumblebee. Later, everyone.